We're excited. Can't wait to get started.
Live on tape at WGN-TV Studios in Chicago.
When it's over, it's the best. That's my favorite.
Who is Marcus Leshock?
Less is more with him. We're going to put him in positions where he can be successful. Not a lot of thinking.
And Steve Lippo.
Love of God, don't start Cam Newton over matchup.
Stupid!
The Fantasy Festivus.
I'm happy for Steve, and I told him I'm proud of him. I tell you what, he's always like a forgotten man.
A fantasy sports podcast for the rest of
us. Shut up.
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
You know, I miss the Houston Oilers. Just going to say it.
The Houston Oilers?
I miss them.
When was that?
That was in Tecmo Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Man, when did they move to Tennessee?
Now you're stumping me.
We're getting off to a great start. This has got to be one of our best podcasts ever so far.
Fantasy Festivus, if you're still listening, I am so sorry. Welcome to another week. We are back. Marcus Leshock, that is him. Steve Lippo, that is I. We are here for another week.
Steve Lippo is strutting around the office because he had a fantastic week in our Fantasy Festivus
Top
League.
Top points scored.
Yeah, he's very confident.
I am.
He's very proud walking around.
All of my failures in all of my other leagues are begone.
This is the worst start I've ever been off to. Easily, overall. I was swept this week in all leagues.
Five teams, myself included, also included WGN web producer Anna Roberts.
Yes, she played me this week.
2-0. There are five defeated teams. 0-2. One of them, Marcus Leshock, also down there, Mr. Tab Bamford.
Yeah, Mr. sent me his rankings at the beginning of the year. Hey, use these rankings, man. Hey, how about all these sleepers on here? Which he had a couple good sleepers.
It's
actually
been a rough couple weeks. You know, it's been a weird couple weeks. I will admit, a lot of guys we expected to do really well, not so hot so far. A lot of guys that no one had heard about, or maybe just like fringe guys in a starting lineup going crazy. So things will right themselves as we go on. But right now, I am going to brag the hell out of this.
I feel like this was the week of the surprise zeros. There were
some
late scratches or just guys who didn't show up to play for whatever reason. I know Antonio Gates was a late scratch, and that was really annoying to me because I didn't have another tight end in another league that I owned him, and everybody, the settings in that league were on waivers, so I couldn't pick anybody up, and that was really dumb on my part to have Antonio Gates without a handcuff, not knowing those rules. But yeah, he was a late scratch. Who else? I think Justin Blackmon had a zero. He didn't have any catches.
Justin Blackmon had zero. You know, I'm going through our
Tab's team, the Al Bundy All-Stars. He had like four blanks, I think.
Justin Blackmon and Stephen Hill, fresh off the waiver wire. Stephen Hill did not catch a ball for the Jets in week two. Also, he had Aaron Hernandez.
Ouch.
That's a rough week.
Literal ouch on that
one. Aaron Hernandez out for a while. There's an injury concern. The Patriots have actually signed Kellen Winslow.
Yeah, now here's my question to that. Because,
no, the answer is no. You don't want him.
Okay, well, that's one of my questions.
Okay.
But it's very bad news for Aaron Hernandez owners. However, it was somewhat good news for Wes Welker owners because Welker started that game pretty much on the bench. He wasn't getting much attention. But then when Hernandez was out, Welker really stepped up and ended up with a decent week, not by his standards, but ended up with about 95 yards, six catches, something like that.
Yeah, he almost hit the 10-point mark, which is a vast improvement from his, 14 yards in week one or whatever
it was? Exactly. So I guess the question is, going forward, you have to start him now that Hernandez is out, but do you think Winslow steps into that role where maybe Welker isn't as featured?
No, I don't think so. No. I think if anything, you're going to see Julian Edelman probably get more.
Okay.
More targets. Honestly, Welker right now, he's kind of in the doghouse with a lot of fantasy owners. The honorary Chris Johnson doghouse.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I have both of those guys in another league.
So let's talk about Chris Johnson.
Man.
I mean, now at this point, 2 weeks in, 2 weeks of this, I don't know. I mean, I watched some of that game. I went back and watched some of it, and I still feel like he's on the verge of a big... You're watching it because you're like, okay, he's going to run to the line. He's going to break one out at some point, and maybe that's going to open the floodgates, but it's just not happening.
I'm officially kind of worried.
Yeah?
I wasn't worried after week one. fine, an abnormality, whatever. Now I'm kind of thinking that I've made a gigantic mistake.
Well, yeah, I mean, a mistake, how? Where did you take him?
Well, actually, I don't have him in our league.
Okay, I got you.
I have him in another league, and it's an auction league, which if you don't know how auction leagues work, everyone gets a chance at every player. You just got to decide how much money you want to spend on a guy, and I spent about one seventh of my budget.
That's
on
a lot.
Him.
That is a lot.
It's a lot.
But he was going top five overall in
standard
drafts.
You know, he was,
drafts.
And honestly, I really didn't want any part of him. Yeah. I was, I just increased the bid by $1 just to kind of keep standards up for what guys were going for, and crickets after I increased the bid, and I got stuck with him. It was a very bad tactical move.
I mean, if you draft him top five overall, I mean, you got to hang on to him. You have to start him every week, especially if you're in a deeper league, because you probably don't have anybody else. I mean, if you have like an Alfred Morris you picked up, of course you're going to start him over Chris Johnson until Chris Johnson shows you something else. But I mean, at this point, you're probably stuck having to play him.
If you can get another running back or a wide receiver who you know is decent and is going to give you points every week, I think you have to consider it.
You mean trade?
Trade, yeah, selling low.
Why are you going to trade for Chris Johnson at this point? Like, what are you going to give up for Chris Johnson?
Here's the thing. I'm not going to trade low for him.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
But somebody will. I think if you have Chris Johnson and you are fed up after 2 weeks and you don't want his stupid face on your team anymore,
what's the lowest you would go for to trade Chris Johnson?
You know, in another league I'm in, I had someone actually trade him straight up for a law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Wow.
Which is, I mean, that is selling low. But you're selling him for another number one running back who isn't going to be challenged for playing time on a team that does score some points. If you're really that desperate and you're really fed up and you think it's not coming back, you can take that risk. But I'm not going to be that guy. I'm hanging on to him.
Other stories of the week, Julio Jones, the hero of last week for somebody in our, I can't remember the team that he's on in our league, Jason Curley's team.
The Jerry Curls, I think.
Yeah, the Jerry Curls. He, you know, was crowing a little bit because he took him, I believe, in the second round.
First round pick. Late first round.
Last week looked like a genius. This week looked like the Julio Jones from last year. I'm always going to be worried, and I'm not saying he's a great player. You obviously have to start him every week, but with somebody of Roddy White's caliber, of Tony Gonzalez, who can still play.
There's other targets.
There are weapons on that team. Michael Turner, I would say, before he ended up in a little bit of trouble last night.
Drinky.
Yeah, he got a DUI last night. I don't know if that might
Jacquizz Rodgers.
Yeah, that might lead to some kind of suspension. Maybe not. I don't know.
He probably misses a game, maybe two.
But it's his first infraction. I don't know. I have to look at that. So I don't know how.
Take a look for Jacquizz Rodgers. I think that's how you say his name.
I'll take it. I'll accept that.
It starts with a J, ends in a bunch of Z's.
Yeah, he's probably owned.
Most likely he's owned in your league.
Because he's kind of a CJ Spiller-like breakout guy.
But if he's not and you need a running back, take a look.
CJ Spiller, by the way, has to be the big story so far these first two games.
You know what? Let's go ahead. Speaking of CJ Spiller, we've got some highlights from week one of the best performers of the week. If we've got that ready to go, let's go ahead and play it because CJ Spiller is a part of it.
Manning steps up. He's got Cruz. Hits him in stride. Victor Cruz. Time to dance. This is Spiller on a draw play. He's inside the five.
First and 10, the delay to Richardson with running room. Tech Richardson will score.
First and 10, Bush, a leap blocker ahead. That is Lane, and here he goes. Reggie Bush, touchdown.
It's a Reggie Bush sighting, ladies and gentlemen.
That game killed me because I'm a Darren McFadden owner, and that should be Darren McFadden.
Wrong side
and
of the line.
I should be mocking the Reggie Bush owner right now, not the Darren McFadden owner sitting here like, what happened?
You know, okay, so thank you to CBS, Fox for those highlights. We heard Eli Manning, who threw for over 500 yards this week.
That was insane.
Victor Cruz, monster game on the other hand. In fact, everyone on the Giants offense, except for Ahmad Bradshaw, he got hurt. I have David Wilson in another one of my leagues, and he did not get the call. It was a guy named Andre Brown, and Bradshaw's probably going to be out. So if you're looking for another running back plug-in, take a look for Andre Brown. He is apparently going to get the load for the Giants.
Now back to CJ Spiller.
CJ Spiller, monster.
I mean, just...
Well, here's the thing I don't get about CJ Spiller. He was drafted high by the Bills. I think we've talked about
this. Oh, yeah?
And they don't play him. He's a good running back. He's a very good running back.
Well, you have Fred Jackson. who has been very solid for them.
I'm in the camp of CJ Spiller being better than Fred Jackson.
Well, at this point, I think that they can't go back. I mean,
you say that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not saying they won't work him in, but if Spiller keeps this up, I mean, he's averaging like 9 yards a carry.
Two words, my friend. Timeshare.
Yeah, but I mean, I just don't see how that happens. I mean, I'm in a couple of leagues where he was dropped before the start of the, or maybe was it after the first game?
No, it had to be before.
No, it was right before the first game. In one league, he was dropped for a kicker because a guy had to start a kicker. Those things just give you fantasy nightmares. And if you were lucky enough to pick him up on the waiver wire, if you drafted him late, congratulations to you, because he has all the makings of the next Arian Foster-like breakout running back fantasy-wise.
It was impressive.
It is very impressive.
Anyway, also you heard in there Trent Richardson, couple of TDs.
Breaking out there.
Big breakout for Trent Richardson.
Killed me this week in our Festivus League.
Yeah, Anna Roberts. Reap the benefits of him. And as we said, Reggie Bush. As we heard Eli Manning, one thing I did want to point out, the good Manning brother, Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
not so much. Monday Night Football. Three early picks. And a lot of people saying the arm strength isn't there. So I don't. If you have Peyton Manning as your starting quarterback, I mean, you kind of got to stick with him, but don't expect to see the Peyton Manning.
I guess, but it's so early in the year. You got to remember, he's just getting back after a long break.
I will talk bad about Peyton Manning as long as I want.
I wouldn't like just rush to say, oh, his arm's obviously weak. The week before, he looked pretty darn good. So
weak arm.
Yeah, maybe that's true. But I think watching the game, he was overthrowing guys, wasn't just underthrowing guys. He was confused by the coverage a lot of the times there. I just think that there's things he needs to get back into the rhythm a little bit. And I'm not a Peyton Manning owner or fan by any means, but I wouldn't just like rush to say I've got to never start him. I mean, I think you got to ride him a little bit and see how it goes.
All right, let's run through the results of week two in our Fantasy Festivus League real quick. Obviously, we said 5-2-0 teams, 5-0-2 teams, 4 teams just toeing the line right at 1-1. Congratulations to Bounty Replacement. We said he had the best draft, and it has come through. And even with a subpar Matthew Stafford in the first 2 weeks.
I know.
Good for him. That is a young man named Garrett Gordon. He is a talented young fellow at many things, including fantasy football.
Well done.
Yes, well done, sir. The Displains Destroyers, the pastor, his name is Justin. He loves God. He's also 2-0. Good for him. Team Supreme and the Lucky Lamborghinis, as we said, that's Anna, our web producer, who just beat
first
up on Marcus.
First time fantasy player. This proves.
First time ever.
Yeah, this proves it. I mean, you could do this for 10 years. You can do it for 10 minutes and be on top. So get involved with fantasy if you haven't before. Don't let it deter you.
Teams in the middle, Foster the People. That's Billy, I believe. Also, Arian Foster has not led his team to 2 wins yet. Only one. Silver Crush, who I just beat up on. He was the top point scorer in week one, and I took him down in your face. No, he just had a bad week. It happens. Show me your TDs. I love touchdowns. The Jerry Curls.
I would show them if my team would score any.
Yeah, exactly.
I would gladly show them.
For everyone. The WGN TD Morning Show, Al Bundy All-Stars, that's Tab, Who Dat Nation, Marcus, the LeShockers, and One in a Million. Are all O-N-T.
I'm hanging on to the second to last spot.
Oh, doctor. By like 3.5 points. I'm just going to point that out. By 3.5 points.
But you know what? It looks like next week, Ryan Matthews is coming back. That high-flying San Diego offense.
It
is going to be my hero.
It is time for a LeShocker resurgence.
He is going to be my hero. I scored many more points this week than I did the week before.
You did.
So
that's true.
I am on the rise. It's and I will be there. And come 10 weeks from now, we'll all be saying, remember when I started 0-2? Yeah, just mark my words, man.
Hey, there are 11 weeks left in the regular season. Plenty of time.
All right, so we got a big Bears game coming up. We're just going to ignore the Bears game from last week.
Yeah, it was bad. We all know it was bad. We all saw it.
We both predicted a loss.
We did.
But, you know, it still hurts the way they lost.
Of course.
So it still hurts. It would hurt fantasy-wise if you owned Brandon Marshall or Jay Cutler. It was not a good night.
Or Matt Forte.
Yeah, Matt Forte. It was just a terrible night fantasy-wise all around. Even for the Packers, it wasn't really a great fantasy night. But, so we got the Rams coming in next week.
You know, Bears-Rams, we actually have our first ever guest on the Fantasy Festivus. So let's go ahead and bring him in now. Joining us now in the Fantasy Festivus, Nick Wagner, senior writer for StLouisRams.com. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
Obviously, Bears and Rams, big matchup this weekend. Rams coming off a fairly impressive win, I guess you can call it. Bears coming off a fairly substantial loss. What do you see from the game this weekend?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be interesting when you look at the Bears and what their strengths are, and you look at the Rams and what they're dealing with, a really banged-up offensive line. Obviously, the Bears are really strong on the defensive line, and you kind of flip it on the other side, and you have the reverse of that, where the Rams have a strong defensive line, guys like Chris Long and Robert Quinn on the edge and Kendall Lankford in the middle, and the Bears have had their share of struggles up front as well. You know, it's cliche to say it, but when you kind of look at the two sides, this game's going to be one in the trenches. Most games are, but this one especially, it seems like there's going to be a heavy emphasis in that area.
Well, even with a banged-up offensive line, the Rams managed to put up a bunch of points last week. Everyone's kind of been waiting for Sam Bradford to maybe come into his own. Do you think we kind of saw what could be out of him last week?
Absolutely. You know, and I think people, you know, you got a glimpse of it his first year, and then last year people kind of started writing him off just based on the fact that he struggled. But, you know, he only played in 10 games, and he played in a handful of those games with a high ankle sprain. And people forget that he went from a West Coast offense under Pat Shurmur his first year to Josh McDaniels' offense.
Danny Amendola last week, 15 receptions, 160 yards, one touchdown. Is this for real? Should I be rushing to my waiver wire to pick him up right now?
You know, I think that the one thing that another part of Bradford's kind of drop off last year was losing Amendola in week one against Philadelphia. There's a connection with those two guys, and that's the guy Sam depends on the most. But I think that the best thing about Amendola is, you know, in years past, the last couple of years especially, you know, you just kind of look at him as only a PPR option because he's a guy who would average 7-8 yards a catch. This offense is actually getting him down the field a little bit more, and he's making more big plays. He had a 50-plus yard catch the other day. I think he's a good pickup in any league now because Sam's going to throw to him. He was targeted 16 times, and he caught 15 of them. He just has a knack for getting open, and you know, the comparisons to Wes Welker, obviously they're short, scrappy white guys, but he can play, and I fully expect him to continue to produce as the year goes on.
That was the Wes Welker week we were all waiting Wes Welker to have.
I'm still waiting for a Wes Welker week, to be perfectly honest.
You know, it's funny, in the offseason, there was a lot of rumors that the Patriots were pursuing Danny Amendola. He was a restricted free agent, and I don't think there was any coincidence to that. Obviously, Josh McDaniels is back in New England. He was here with Amendola last year. Even though he missed the year, he got to see him in the preseason. And so I think that there was something to that, and the Rams are currently actually in the process of kind of starting to try to re-sign Amendola for next year. But if they don't be shocked if the Patriots let Welker walk and make a pitch for Amendola.
All right, I'm kind of putting the pieces together over here, Nick. You say struggling offensive line for the Rams, Bradford actually targeting his wide receivers more. Is this the year we finally see Steven Jackson not be the only offense in St. Louis?
I think that's the hope, you know, and make no mistake, Jackson is still the centerpiece of this offense, and he's still going to be the bell cow, still going to be the guy they want to go to, and that's just kind of the nature of Jeff Fisher and Brian Schottenheimer's offenses. That's kind of what they've always done and the way they've always succeeded. You know, going back to Jeff Fisher's Tennessee days, you know, you picture Jackson as kind of the Eddie George of this group, but nonetheless, you know, he never really had a quarterback like Sam Bradford either. Now, don't get me wrong, Steve McNair was an MVP for him one year, but completely different types of players. So what you're going to see a lot of this offense in general is pound the ball, pound the ball, pound the ball, and then hope that they can kill you over the top with some play action, get Bradford out on the edges, getting him throwing on the run, some of the things that he does really well.
Now, so I shouldn't be worried then as a Steven Jackson owner that he only had 9 carries last week.
Well, you know, he had a groin strain.
Shocker.
Yeah, right.
Steven Jackson injury, what?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny people say that, but this is one of only 6 running backs in NFL history to put together 7 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. So if he was, you know, he always finds a way to play through injuries.
That's what's frustrating is because he could be so much more than that, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I understand that, but, he plays through a lot of the injuries. A lot of the problems, a lot of the reasons that he hasn't is like Steve said a moment ago, is he's constantly the guy who is the only guy that teams are preparing for, loading up the box, 8-9 defenders, and forcing you to try to pass on him because the receivers have been subpar and because the offensive line hasn't been able to protect. So, but Steven, he had a groin strain last week. He was running great guns before it happened. I think he was 9 for 58, something like that, 6.4 a carry. And, you know, we'll wait and see where he is tomorrow in practice, but I kind of expect him to be able to bounce back and be ready to go this weekend.
All right, Nick, prediction for the game. I'm not sure if you're in the prediction business. We like to throw out random numbers and be horribly wrong. So here's your chance to do the same. What do you see this Sunday?
Yeah, you know, I really don't play the prediction game much, not to break any hearts there. But
how about just pick a winner for us then?
Yeah, you know, I think it'll be a good game. I think it's going to be tough for the Rams to come out with a win, but I wouldn't rule it out. I just think that in this regime under Jeff Fisher, the one thing that's changed is that they are always competitive, and they're going to be in a lot of the games that they play. You saw it in Week 1 in Detroit. They couldn't quite come out with the win. You saw it this past week. They were able to get the win late against the Redskins. So I would expect a really close game, and it's just going to come down to a play or two.
And just really quick, do I start my Bears this week against the Rams defense? Do I want to start my Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall team?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting, you know, with Cutler, obviously, you guys know as well as anybody, he has the penchant for throwing the interception. That's one area the Rams have not struggled with here.
Thanks for reminding us. That's great.
That's one thing the Rams haven't struggled with here in the early going. You know, they picked off Stafford three times in the first half against Detroit. Finnegan got another one last week, and they could have easily had a couple more that they should have had along the way. So there's probably a little bit of danger in that. You know, the Rams really bulked up their secondary with adding Cortland Finnegan. Janoris Jenkins, the rookie, is playing like a veteran already. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be an interesting matchup.
All right, you heard it here. Nick Wagner, senior writer, StLouisRams.com. Nick, thank you very much for being guest number one.
And congratulations on dominating the fantasy league you're in with Steve.
Let's not talk about that. No one needs to hear about this.
It's not exactly lofty praise, but we'll take it any way we can get it.
Hey, just so you know, I beat all the other crappy leagues I'm in, so
including this one.
No,
which
I'm
just
not.
Trashed everybody.
I do what I can.
I'm glad you're able to find some wins somewhere, Steve.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, so Bears Rams, we are excited for that.
Do you have a prediction?
You know, I do have a prediction. I think the Bears win this. I think they rebound. I think it is going to be, despite Nick's battle in the trenches, I think both teams are going to score some points, but the Bears probably more. The replacement refs haven't shown that they stop points from being scored. I think it's the highest scoring first 2 weeks in NFL history.
Yeah.
I read that somewhere.
Those refs are terrible, by the way.
So I'm going to go with 34-23.
Wow.
Bears.
I'm not lying. I was going to go 33-24 Bears.
Well, then, my friend... Go offense, so I can win the tiebreaker.
I know.
Really? You were going to go 33-24?
Yeah, 33-24.
All right, so I say 34. 30, Marcus says 33.
33-24.
All right, I say 30. Oh, wait, you say 33-24.
33-24.
Oh,
are you changing your score?
No, I said 34-23. 33-24.
We got three touchdowns and three.
So we differ at one point on each team.
Dude, I'm just telling you, that's my prediction I've had all day. You want me to change it just for the fact to make this
more
Well,
I think it's weird because I basically just made mine up off the top of my head.
We're just in sync. And we were close on the other game too, weren't we?
We were. I missed the Packers-Bears score by about a field goal each side.
Right. So we're locked down when that comes.
All right. Well, we're excited. Bears-Rams, week 2 this Sunday. Good luck in all your fantasy
email
leagues.
Us.
Again, email.
FantasyFestivus@gmail.com, FantasyFestivus@gmail.com.
Or Twitter, @MarcusLeshock, @SteveLippo. We will help you out in any way we can. Maybe me more than Marcus, judging by my success.
Whatever. See you next week.
Bye.